authority person, Honorable Mukalipi, he is busy with some party
negotiations.
Thank you, Mr. Bray. And then also the Deputy Minister of Apela, he'll be attending Cabinet this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure the honorable member who was assisting you, they are well versed with what is going on. We have noted the apologies. Today, the
sorry for just cutting in, Chairperson, but I want to make an apology. I have to leave at the latest at 11 on this meeting due to a medical appointment I have, so I have to leave at 11.
Okay, noted. Any further apology, maybe I should have asked. It doesn't look like there's any. Today, we only have one item presentation by the Auditor General's office. That is the only item. And I well can adopt the agenda as it was. It was welcome, apologies, then presentation, discussions after that. Any member who is moving adoption of the agenda? Any proposal for adoption?
I propose to adopt, Chairperson.
Yes, any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Agenda adopted. I know we have got a team from the... thank you, Honorable Mbumza. Welcome. I can see that you are from far away. The delegation from the Auditor General's office is with us here. I will not want to introduce them. They will introduce themselves. Let me welcome them and immediately hand over to them for presentation. I'm not sure if it is Apendule or somebody else is going to. Okay, over to you.
Morning, Honorable Chair. Morning, Honorable Members. Thank you for the opportunity for us to come here to present the audit outcomes for the crop portfolio for the 2021 financial year. And I would also like to greet my colleagues from the crop portfolio, from the DGs, the CEOs, and so forth, because we've been in this journey together throughout the audit process. And we also would like to appreciate their cooperation and making our audit seamless. And Chair, I'm not alone here. I'm with Ms. Apendule Mandiyani. She's the acting senior manager on the project. I will allow her to show her face because she'll be the one taking us through the presentation. Apendule.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio. Thank you, Tepo. I'm going to take us through the presentation on the audit outcomes of the Cooperative and Traditional Affairs Portfolio. Just want to share the presentation for everyone viewing. Okay, I have the presentation on showing, so can I just get confirmation that it's showing from your side, Chairperson, as well? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to get confirmation if the presentation is showing on everyone's screen.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity again.
Yes, it does.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to vision, as well as the role of the Auditor General. I'm not going to go through the slides. I'll take it as read as it's made available for information purposes, and delve right into the business of the day, which is the portfolio audit outcomes. We have a snippet of the audit outcomes within the portfolio in comparison to the audit outcomes that we achieved in the 2019-20 cycle. We have noted a slight improvement in the number of auditees that achieved to 5 in the 2021 period, and the number of auditees that achieved financially unqualified annual financial statements in the year 2021, as the number remained at 5. The number of auditees that achieved no finding on performance reporting also remained the same, which is 6. This is commendable because these are positive results and the portfolio has achieved 100% of auditees not achieving findings on performance reporting. We have also noted a slight improvement in the area of auditees that achieved no findings on compliance with key legislation matters. And lastly, on the segment of regular expenditure, we have noted an increase of 2 billion expenditure incurred in the current year when compared to the 73 million which was incurred in 2019-20. To put matters into context, Chairperson, the irregular expenditure increase of 2 billion does not equate to the expenditure that was incurred in 2020-21 financial period. However, there is a non-compliance that occurred in 2018-90 relating to procurement of implementing agents for community works program that was identified only in 2021 financial cycle. That then necessitated the department to quantify and report on the irregular expenditure for the year 2021, starting back from 2018-19. Moving to the next slide, on this area, the audit outcomes indicate an overall improvement within the portfolio. If you look at the graphic for 2019-20, it indicates that CRL Rights Commission previously achieved unqualified with findings audit opinion, which is the yellow category, and this has now changed to a green, which depicts an unqualified with no findings in the cycle of 2020-21. Chairperson, it is also commendable that the auditees that had achieved clean audit outcomes in 2019-20 were able to maintain and achieve this outcome again in 2020-21. That being the Department of Traditional Affairs, MDB, NISA, as well as SALGA. The Department of Cooperative Governance has unfortunately achieved a qualified audit opinion again in 2020-21 financial period, which was the same result that was achieved in 2019-20. We further zoom into the audit outcomes that were achieved by the Department of Cooperative Governance. The graphic illustrates that the department has come a long way since 2016-17. In 2021, the department has again, if we look at the far right, top right, we can see that the department has achieved certain in other certain areas, as the number of qualification areas have reduced significantly if we look from the year 2016-17 to 2021. The basis for the qualification in the current year were on property, land and equipment, as well as goods and services. In the area of predetermined objectives, the department has achieved unqualified audit opinion in the management report and no findings in the audit report. It is important to note, however, that the department achieved these results after effecting material audit adjustments into the performance report. And then on the section for compliance subject matters, the department had findings on the area of annual financial statements, which is directly linked to the financial audit outcome, that being the qualifications on the property, plant and goods and services. The department also had findings under the section for expenditure management, whereby the department did not prevent irregular as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure from occurring, and in some instances failed to pay the service providers within 30 days as prescribed by the Chair regulations. So we're also finding under the consequence management area, due to the department's inability to conclude investigations into irregular as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure as required by the prescript legislation. We further noted more findings under the section for procurement and contract management, whereby the department did not always follow the prescripts under supply chain management in procuring contracts and or quotations. Moving to material irregularities, the material irregularities reported in the audit report of the department stem from the year 2019 where the notifications were issued to the accounting officer. We have not noted any material irregularities in the start of 2020-21. However, when we followed up on the progress made by the accounting officer in resolving these material irregularities, in one instance relating to payments to non-qualifying government employees on the community work program, we concluded that the accounting officer was not taking appropriate action and therefore took a decision to include audit report recommendations in the upcoming slides. And as a matter of fact, the accounting officer was taking appropriate actions, and therefore we will follow up on the progress made in the upcoming 2021-22 PFMA audit cycle. And then in the last material irregularity, we concluded that after further deliberations within the Organization of Auditors General of South Africa, we will no longer be pursuing the matter and therefore it's considered closed. Moving to irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there was no movement noted in the area of unauthorized expenditure with an increase of 2 billion under irregular expenditure, which I've already alluded to. This 2 billion increase relates to a non-compliance that occurred in 2018-19, whereby in the 2020-21, a High Court judgment found that the procurement process followed in appointing non-profit organizations which are implementing agents on the community work program was unconstitutional and therefore invalid. That necessitated the department to quantify irregular expenditure that occurred from the past 3 years and disclose it as such in the 2021 financial period for the first time. Under fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the increment in that area is linked to some of the material irregularities whereby there are beneficiaries that are paid. However, according to the Home Affairs database, they are deceased, and therefore this expenditure, while it's still under investigation, it was disclosed as fruitless and wasteful. And some of it was also attributable to payments to non-qualifying government employees, whereby a beneficiary would appear as having a personal number, meaning it's employed by one of the government institutions, but also unduly benefited from the community work program, which is meant for people that are unemployed or people that are underemployed. There's also a slight movement on the recoveries and write-off of fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 128,000 in the Department of Cooperative Governance. In the next slide, Archibald, this slide deals with the recommendations which I spoke to in the previous slide, whereby we concluded that the accounting officer wasn't taking appropriate actions and therefore included the following recommendations in the audit report of the department. And these recommendations need to be implemented by the accounting officer by 31 January 2022, after which we will follow up on the progress made. Chairperson, it's important to bring to your attention that if we find that the accounting officer did not implement these remedial actions when we follow up on the progress, the matter such as a referral of these material transfer states or performing these investigations with the resources we have internally in the organization and other available avenues within the material irregularity processes. The recommendations are that the department needs to conduct an investigation and confirm issues whereby the beneficiaries unduly benefited as suggested by the audit findings that were communicated, and also quantify the actual financial loss. And appropriate action should be taken to to recover the financial loss from the responsible parties as suffered by the department. If there are any elements of criminal conduct, the department should report these to the South African Police Service and the appropriate and proactive internal controls that prevent payments to non-qualifying government employees should be put in place to serve as a deterrent and also prevent a reoccurrence of this non-compliance in the future. Employees that are concerned to have unduly benefited from this process should be reported to their respective employers as well as the Department of Public Service Administration. And lastly, after the investigation outcomes, any officials or parties that are found to be responsible for this material irregularity should be taken through the necessary disciplinary processes. Moving to the next slide, Chairperson, it gives insights on the key root causes as well as recommendations based on the audit outcomes of the department. Chairperson, we noted instances whereby the department was unable to produce and maintain a credible asset register for the community works program, and that resulted in the audit process being limited as we were unable to confirm existence and completeness of these assets. This is one area which needs a slightly enhanced element of improvement in the internal control. We also further noted issues of lack of appropriate record keeping to support and substantiate transactions that are reported in the annual financial statements, whereby under Goods and Services, we were unable to confirm and audit this area with alternative procedures as management were unable to submit the necessary supporting records. There were also instances whereby we noted, Chairperson, that the department did action plans that were designed in previous areas are repeat findings. There was also a sense of lack of consequence management within the department as the non-compliance relates to irregular and fruitless expenditure that was incurred in the previous financial years. Therefore, the department had ample time to put in place measures and controls to ensure consequence management as required by the relevant policies as well as the requirements of legislation. We therefore recommend and ask the accounting officer to ensure thorough review of the audit action plans that are going to be developed as a result of the audit outcomes achieved in the 2021 cycle. These audit action plans should be such that these issues are not then identified in the upcoming audit cycles, and these action plans should be subjected to stringent and thorough reviews to ensure that they are addressing the root causes. The need for enhancement and a heightened attention should be paid to the controls around the community work program, as the issues noted in the department mainly stemmed from the community work program, from the outcomes in the financial statements, the non-compliance reported, and the material irregularities that are included in the audit report. The accounting officer should strengthen the preventative controls as the non-compliance findings were prevalent in the audit report of the department. And there is an internal audit within the department, and therefore the management should take advantage of this and ensure that it's being used to correct and identify issues early enough prior to the need where the financial statements are then submitted for external audit purposes. The minister, it's recommended that the minister should request the accounting officer to provide regular feedback on the implementation and progress of the action plans to ensure improvement in the audit outcomes. And lastly, the minister should further request feedback on the implementation of material irregularity recommendations, such that in the upcoming period when we follow up on progress, there would have been movement and financial losses would have been ideally recovered such that the material irregularity can be closed. Chairperson, it takes time and as well as resources to resolve material irregularities, and therefore the sooner these processes are concluded is the better, such that the fiscal
that in the number of auditees that submitted financial statements that were without errors at the beginning of audit, which is attributable to the audit outcomes achieved by the CRL Rights Commission. And there was no movement in the quality of financial submission after the audit, as the number remained at 5. On the area of performance reporting, Chairperson, everything has slightly remained the same, with the exception of performance report adjusted for material misstatements to improve reliability. Chairperson, overall, the percentage has remained the same. However, sales have suffered a reduction, as in the prior year, the performance report submitted for audit did not contain any material errors. However, in the current year, there was a material misstatement noted which necessitated the auditee to effect material adjustments into the performance report to achieve a credible and reliable performance reporting in their report. On the area of compliance subjects with legislation, Chairperson, with your permission, I'm not going to go through the slides on irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That being due to the fact that on the audit outcomes, I explained in detail the increment on irregular expenditure, which is attributable to the Department of Corporate Governance. The slides, there is a slight contribution by the other auditors, but I think these can be read at by the members at their own time, as it's slightly smaller in comparison to the department. The department is the bigger contributor when it comes to fruitless and irregular expenditure, and I've already alluded to the reasons as to why these expenditures were incurred. I'll just move over to the findings on supply chain management. Chairperson, these are the findings which were prevalent within the portfolio highlighted. In the graphic, it shows that there's a slight improvement as well as a slight concern of reduction from two of the auditees that in the prior year did not have findings on compliance subject matters, but have, however, obtained supply chain management findings. Even though these were not significant, it's important for the accounting officer and management to ensure that they put controls around this area to avoid these findings, such that we do not end up with a worse-off scenario if these then worsen in the upcoming year. The CRL Rights Commission in the prior year had significant findings under supply chain management. It is commendable that the entity was able to improve in the current cycle with a finding. Still, however, these were not significant when assessed against materiality. And there's also a regression from NISA and SAGA, whereby in the prior year there were no findings on supply chain management, and there were slightly insignificant findings that were determined in the current period. Moving to the findings which are prevalent are that there were instances where fees were adjudicated by committees that are not composed in line with the policies, or procurement prices for PPE that were in excess of the prices recommended by National Treasury, and an instance is whereby the PPE that was procured did not comply with local content requirements in the department. There were also some instances where the calculation and or allocation of preference points were not in accordance with the requirements of preferential procurement policies. And lastly, there were also instances noted whereby reasons for deviations were not justifiable. We therefore recommend that the accounting officer should enhance action plans to align the implementation of preventative controls instead of detective controls. And preventative controls should be strengthened to support a compliant environment within the portfolio.
financial statements, performance reporting on compliance with legislation. So I think the committee is now under the audit of the Department of Cooperative Governance, so I'm not going to talk further to them, but the assessment on senior manager and accounting officer at the department were assessed as providing limited to no assurance due to the qualified audit opinion. And in SALDA and CRL, though the entities achieved clean audit outcomes, there were findings which I already spoke to above, which then necessitated our conclusion to be that these assurance providers are providing some assurance, but there is still an area of improvement that can be put in place. Under executive authority, we assess the executive authority as providing some assurance due to the audit outcome in the department, of course, but taking into consideration that the executive authority is not responsible for day-to-day operations as well as preparation and submission of credible annual financial statements. On the internal audit, we assess that the internal audit is providing some assurance due to the issues which were communicated by, were identified by the external audit review, which were not highlighted by the internal audit processes. And moving to the next slide, on the area of internal controls, these are also directly attributable to the audit outcomes in the financial statements, performance reporting, as well as the design, implementation and the monitoring of internal controls to achieve credible reporting in all areas that achieve good governance, transparency and accountability. And as the graphic depicts, the Department of Cooperative Governance again achieved a status which requires intervention due to the areas of qualification that I've already alluded to and the fact that these areas are repeat findings which management had an opportunity to address had they put in place adequate controls to ensure that this is then not achieved again in the upcoming financial period. Moving to the status of information technology, Chairperson, we noted instances whereby the cash management policy was not adequately implemented on the central supplier database website, as well as missing security updates or patches, which is attributed to non-compliance with cash management procedures. We recommend that the management as well as the accounting officer should enforce a compliance environment by implementing the pledge management policy and procedures and monitor compliance in that area. Management should ensure that it tests and applies on a regular basis to ensure that the portfolio are adequately implemented. And then moving to the next slide, we further highlight three key root causes and recommendations for management to improve in these areas, that being the monitoring of implementation on audit action plans and slow response by management to address material matters in the audit action plans, as well as management not adequately reviewing and monitoring of key controls to ensure a sound control environment. I cannot overemphasize the need and importance for the management and accounting officer to ensure adequate implementation of audit action plans such that there's preventative measures in place to ensure sustainable solutions as well as sound financial management practices and ensure compliance within the portfolio to prevent any compliance findings as well as credible performance reporting. So there needs to be a drive and a change in culture towards non-compliance and holding people accountable whereby
listening and taking notes. They also got the presentation, I'm sure, yesterday. So they must be ready now for discussion in terms of the agenda. What follows is a discussion. But before I take members, I'm sure they know how to raise their hands. As part of the apologies, I should have indicated that at 2 o'clock I might not be part of the meeting. There is a group of or a cooperative center who will be marching to Parliament at 2 o'clock to present a petition to a number of chairpersons of different portfolio committees, including COCTA, protesting about the adoption by Parliament of the Justice Charter on Environment. So I have been asked by the Speaker to go and fetch that petition. So I should have apologized, you know, at the beginning, because what we'll be discussing is related to what is happening in the afternoon in terms of the presentation by the department. So let me advance that apology, and the whip of the committee would chair, I would suggest on my behalf at 2 o'clock. I'll rejoin the meeting immediately after I'm released from that march. Can we take hands to go through the presentation of the Auditor General's report? Any takers? Okay, I can see three hands. The first one is Honorable Funa Vance, number one. Honorable Tayaza, number two. Honorable Mabika, number three. Honorable Brink, number four. Honorable Mkalipi, number five. Honorable Direko, number six. I think we'll follow that order for now. Can I start with Honorable Hunewald?
Thank you, Chairperson, and apologies for my camera being switched off due to network. Chairperson, I only have one question. In terms, if you go and look at the media, the CEO of MISA was arrested with 10 other people within the department, yet the Auditor General tells us that MISA has a clean audit, that the statements are credible, and there is an assurance in terms of the financial statements. Throughout 2019-2020 and 2020-2021. So, Jefferson, if the people being arrested due to contract fraud, how is it that it does not show on the financial statements? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Jefferson of the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to yourself and your and the good committee members, my colleagues. I have a few questions and concerning the CWP program. I picked up the Auditor General as speaking to the regular fruitless waste for an unauthorized expenditure. I wanted to ask the department what are the agreed time frames and budget spent on investigating reported cases within the Community Works Program. What mechanisms has the department put in place to minimize the investigation period? What harsher punitive measures has the department put in place against corruption and the ability to preempt corruption, as the Auditor General just put to us that there should be
more preventive measures than reactive measures. And then the Auditor General also is concerned about the lack of consequence management within the department. What are the impediments to consequence management within the department, given the question of honorable what monitoring mechanism has the department put in place to strengthen and ultimately ensure participants within the CWP in municipalities to then effect the change of life in essence, Chairperson, and the fact that out of those participants, no one can build houses or assist any family because out of 700, I'm sure you understand that per month you would have to pay 250 for your electricity, and what is left is perhaps to go home and eat something during the break and all those things, and you end up with nothing, which does not speak to Section 10 of the Constitution to restore dignity and inherited dignity back to our people. How many employees, how many government employees that are benefited from CWP that why has it taken a long time to prosecute all countries? What measures has the department put in place in ensuring that appropriate action is taken on non-qualifying government employees on CWP resulting in the Auditor General's recommendations help recover the financial losses suffered by the department? And so there is a question of the middleman, Chairperson, within the CWP project that I have asked here in the committee before as to how will the department redirect the funds that they are using via the implementing agencies to benefit the participants themselves and encourage them because we cannot blame them for sleeping under the trees while there is no such thing as motivation. And then in terms of the goods and services not received with the CWP program, what has the department done in ensuring that those that were supposed to have delivered the goods are held to account? Because all this speaks to the perpetual outsourcing of services that the state needs to come on board and learn to do their functions, Chairperson, on their own, so that they can then ensure through the supreme aid institutions such as the Auditor General and other Chapter 9 institutions that these issues bring about change in people's lives and also bring about quality of services, because when you don't deliver good and that you were paid for in advance, that speaks to the lack of commitment and the lack of adherence to the contracts that you are given. So those are my questions for now, Chairperson. And the last one being this question of unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful expenditure that the Auditor General is over $2 billion of the financial year from 73 million. Then you jump all the way to 2 billion, 0 to 6 billion. I'm sorry, 2.026 billion, without having to put about prevent preventive measures and investigative measures to actually arrest the situation there and have people that are liable for that particular. It's worth for the authorized for this thing called fruitless whistleblower, because there's just no value for money there. It's just expenditure in vain, and it could have been expenditure that could have been avoided, and how that is a feature all the time when we're meeting for these annual reports. It just baffles me, just mind boggling. That there is no improvement in that. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to you, Chairperson, and the committee. I've got a concern, Chairperson, especially about the issue of the CWPS issue, which emanated from the 18-19 financial year. My concern is to why is it still appearing now? Because it would have been picked up during the previous year, which is 19-20. If it was picked up during 19-20, so why are we still having to deal with it right now? I am also very much concerned, Chairperson, about the recommendations by the AG. One wonders if these recommendations are meant to change the situation or turn the department around, or they are just there. Because if one looks at these recommendations been made, and most of them are saying the accounting officer should do this, should do that, as if the accounting officer is new or has not been there. For example, if they are saying the department is unable to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure, who should have done that? The department is failing to pay service providers in 30 days. Why are we still having such a concern? Because the same accounting officer is aware of such, failing to keep records in the department should not be bothering us by now. My question then again, Chairperson, will be when does the AG start acting in terms of their powers instead of bringing this? Because if I may just tell you now, come next financial audit reporting, they will be telling us about the accounting officer should do this, the accounting should do this. And the accounting officer, I'm sure, is aware of what needs to be done, but it's not done. So how are we going to see the change? When are we going to be expecting a change? Then being told one and the same thing, and these powers by the AG are being emphasized, but we have not seen what we call the consequence management on their side as well, and that worries me, Chairperson. I thank you.
So, Honorable Brink, thanks very much, Chairperson, and it's good to be back. I look forward to what's left of this year. Chairperson, it is clear that there has been a very disappointing failure in the sense that we expected the problems
now been identified by the AG to be addressed by the political leadership and the management, especially the Department of Cooperative Governance. So again, we have a qualified audit, and again, the same type of findings in relation to the Community Works Program, which is a complete mess, but also other serious management failures in the financial statements, and so on, which I hope the DG is here to answer, or somebody standing in for the DG, or even the minister, and that is an explanation of why there hasn't been an improvement, why has the Community Works Program not been fixed, why are we sitting with the same finding that we have been for the past three financial years. There has to be an account of the failure, otherwise this entire exercise is one of futility. The second question is whether any of this was landed in the performance agreements of COGTA officials. So is it part of the DG's performance agreement that there should at least be an unqualified audit? Or are there similar provisions in that performance agreement, and will those provisions now be enacted if there isn't a sufficient explanation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Kalenzi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm covered by my colleagues in some of the issues that you have raised, especially to say that you know, the report that just been tabled by the Auditor General suggests that there's no improvement in the department. So therefore, the political head of the department must come and explain to us. And also, just to check, Chairperson, if the department will also clarify the issue of staff components. I believe that the department is not following proper procedures when the higher staff members for the department. There's something called that additional to establishment. What does that simply mean? It means that they don't follow proper procedures in terms of human resources to hire people for the department. They just go and pick up people from the street and add them to their staff members. So I want to know from the Auditor General if that was also picked up by them as Auditor General, because I believe there is money that is wasted when the department is doing that. So I need a clarity on how do they even arrive on that decision as a department to go and identify a person to say we are adding you on the establishment of the department. How do you account for that if the department has to account? Because each and every decision in the department must be accounted to. And we are also hearing that there are people who are resigning from the department. I'm talking about people who have been in the department carry an institutional memo to the department just to allow those people just to resign because they are not happy about things that are happening in the department. And also the political head of the department must verify us as this portfolio committee, because the department has so many problems. We don't need people to resign on the basis that there are politics that are played in this department, especially if a person have an experience that will assist to resolve these issues that are begin to be crisis in the department. So I really want to get a response, but unfortunately, Chairperson, I must not be here when the Auditor General responds, or the department, or the political head, which is the minister, or the deputy ministers, who I'm not sure if they're here, but my colleagues will be here, and my fighter will be here, so they'll be able to make a follow-up on that one, but I really want to get that clarity. For instance, Chairperson, I'm told that there is an IT person in the department who is there in terms of the organogram of the department, but there is another person who has been hired in the department to be told that that person is demanding a lot of money on top of a person who's there in the department as an IT specialist. So some of those things need to be clarified here, because to me, I think it also affects the budget and the operation of the department. You can't have nepotism at this time in the department. We need people
go and get my additional to establish. Thank you, Larry, that one, Chair.
Thank you. I hope I am not the one cutting you. Honorable Director.
Thank you, Chairperson. On other questions, I'm covered. However, Chair, when you look at the Department of Cooperative Governance, it's like it's the black sheep of the family. While other entities and DTA are performing well, DCOG is the one who's just standing still. And Chair, when you look at the audit report of the department for the past 3 consecutive years, you can see that CWP is the elephant in the room. AG has been making recommendations on this project, but each and every year, you see when there were several irregularities. The very same things that are written by AG on this report, they were there on the previous report, and we raised this thing sharply with the department that they must do something. We can't afford a situation where the contractors will be just appointed without following the proper procedures, whereby the people who are working for government are appearing on this project. And the department made a commitment that they will do a post-audit plan and they will deal with the matter. So it is to our surprise that even in this financial year, we still have this program of CWP. However, say, on the recommendation, the AG is recommending that the accounting officer must do 1, 2, 3, 4. So I want to check on the side of the AG, what is it that they are going to do with this matter? Because it has been appearing each and every year for the past 3 consecutive years, if not more. Not so long ago, in 2019, we have adopted a public audit amendment act of 2019, where the AG was given more powers in terms of dealing with matters such as this one. So I would like to check on the side of the AG, what is it that they are going to do with this matter that has been here for a very long time, and it seems like there's no focus in this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mbunza. Honorable Mbunza, I see your hand. Yes, I can see your face, but I can't hear you. Can you unmute? Unmute, please. We can't hear you. 22-something, will expect progress all the time on some of the issues that have been raised here. But specifically now on the issues raised by Auditor General, there are instances twice where the Auditor General is saying there are specific matters that are closed after they have engaged with the department. But there's no clear explanation as to what informed the closure and what does that mean. Does it mean as the portfolio committee will follow suit and assume that those matters that relate to material irregularities are closed? So it would be good to hear from the Auditor General. And I think the last speaker as well, on the issue of COGTA, the Department of Cooperative Government, not being a good example. What is it that can be done to stop that immediately? I'm asking it from the AG, who are supposed to help us conduct effective oversight over the department out of their own experience. What is it that is to deal with this? Is this elephant in the room? What actions can be suggested must be done immediately to well close the matter properly? The amendments that have been effected to help the AG to deal with this, it might be AG might say as well, oversight committee, this is what you can do to make sure that this thing comes to an end. I'm just raising those few things that would allow the AG to respond, and I'm told there are some officials from the department as well, if they are able to respond to some of the issues that have been raised. I can see Honorable Mbumza still wants to speak. Honorable Mbumza, can you speak? Can you unmute? Yes.
My own data.
Thank you. Yes, you are audible.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've just a few questions for the Auditor General's office. Thanks for the presentation. First, Chair, commend the doctor. Clean up as well as the Department of Traditional Affairs for keeping that work clean throughout. Chair, the Auditor General indicated that there are some slight improvements as well as some rain around the Chunadisalga and the CSL. These two auditees, as agencies of COGTA, have actually regressed on areas regressed their performance on this audit. The auditors have to move here. The department does not take as a result, they are saying to us that become is saying that almost the department, they have identified almost 2 billion irregular expenditure. Now, my question to the Auditor General given that there is a budget amendment act, which has after authorized them to issue certificates to accounting officers. May I understand now what is this asking the Auditor General from issuing an accounting that is certificate to the accounting officer so that we recover the irregular expenditure of it?
Causing problems for me when I respond to some of the questions.
questions, and then Apendule will take over on the remaining questions with your permission, Honorable Chair.
Yes, sir.
Honorable Chair, I really appreciate the question and the concerns raised by the Honorable Members, especially around the effectiveness or the intention of the amendment to the Public Audit Act, which gave the Office of the Auditor General extended powers. The main objective for the powers was mainly to put in pieces of legislation which are meant to enhance good governance and clean administration in the public sector. I'm referring to the existing Public Finance Management Act as well as the Municipal Finance Management Act. Both of these pieces of legislation contain extensive guidance on what the law requires the accounting officers and the authorities to do with regards to compliance with laws and regulations, and also outlines even what needs to be done in with regards to consequence management in the event of financial misconduct. So ours, the extension that we got with regards to the PAA was to reinforce this by ensuring that where there is a breach, we can refer material irregularities to the public bodies, can do further investigations in accordance with their mandate, and also take binding remedial actions for failure to implement the AG's recommendation regarding the material irregularities. And the third one is for the AGSA to issue certificate of debt for failure to implement the remedial action if there was a financial loss. Actually, the implementation of this material irregularities process is a long process. For example, at DCOC, the department with all these challenges, we raised issues, for example, in 2018-19 financial year. And the process was, we first notified the accounting and then accounting officer, because the current accounting officer is new. She was appointed, I think, last year, May. So we informed the then accounting officer, who gave us the commitment and initiative that he's going to implement in terms of addressing this issue. And thereafter, we assessed the commitment that the DG made. And for some reason, most of the commitments that were made, we have to come now as AG before we conclude on whether we issue a certificate of debt or we refer to another public body, whether the DG is taking appropriate action. And you would see in the slides, one of the slides that the appendix presented, we broke all the six MIs down, whereby we indicated that for the four MIs, the irregularities, we believe that the accounting officer is taking appropriate action, and that is informed by us as AG interrogating the action plans and other initiatives that the accounting officer and her team are able to resolve political irregularities. So it's probably to end up issuing certificate of debt to the people, to the wrong people as well, because that will also create legal challenges for the AG. We are following due process. And we are, just as much as the audit outcomes may look bleak, behind the scenes, the new DG and her new CFO, as well as the DDG for TWP, they are doing a lot of things that are trying to resolve the current challenges that the department is facing. Therefore, Chair, the issue of the certificate of debt is a long process. Yes, and it affords all involved parties the necessary opportunity in terms of our constitution for them to present their cases and give us the progress in terms of what are they really doing to address the issue. So as frustrating as it is, Honorable Chair, it is really not as easy as closing an MI within 6 months and issuing a certificate of debt. And I hope, Chair, honorable members will bear with us. We are following process. Like with one of the MIs, you see that we've already moved into the recommendation phase in the audit report. We've already already agreed with the DG that we give, I think, 6 months for her to implement the recommendations that we shared with the committee earlier today, in which we may consider a referral or certificate of debt if there is a material financial loss.
That was that question in the PAA. And the other one that I can respond to on the issue around the Mr. CEO, I think it was Honorable Groenewald. Honorable Groenewald, from our side, we noted the arrest of Mr. CEO. I think it happened in 2019. And it is relating to the old contract, I think, with regard to Amatole Beach Pilot, a contract that was issued many years ago. So our audit outcomes for MISA are purely based on our audit of the financial statements, the performance information, as well as compliance with laws and regulations. So that court case has no bearing on MISA's audit outcomes. And we, the last time we checked, that matter was being handled at the level, but I think the department is more on to the status of the case and other things than us as AGSA. But I would like to assure you that our audit processes, we've given them the audit outcomes based on what we audited, Honorable Groenewald. I'll pause now and allow Apendule to respond.
Thank you, Tepan. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to address some of the questions that are directed to us. So, Chairperson, I think overall the questions are directly linked to the implementation of the community work program. So I would like to start off by providing context and also explaining in detail our observations with regards to the challenges experienced in the implementation of the community work program project. Chairperson, at the end of September 2021, the contract between the department and the non-profit organizations that were previously appointed as implementing agents came to an end, and the department gave commitment after that period, the department would embark on an exercise to reconcile and account for each and every transaction within the that was incurred within the period of 3 years since 2018-19, when these implementing agents were appointed, and whatever that is due to the department would then be recovered from the retention balances which are withheld on each invoice from the non-profit organization. The issues that are key and prevalent in the area of community work program in terms of annual financial statements accountability, they relate to the asset register like I explained, as well as the lack of record keeping and the goods and services. So on asset management, the department is required to physically verify the assets, reconcile to the records that they have to confirm that these assets are within the custody of implementing agent A that is project to advance government objectives, and such that the department is in a position to then at the end of this contract transfer the assets from the custody of those implementing agents once the contract has expired. With the challenges held by the department, one then wonders if the department what processes and what controls were put in place by the department to ensure credibility of information when it's transferred and closed out for purposes of starting the new contract. From the Auditor General's perspective, what is required is that the department needs to be intentional about this exercise. It's going to be expensive. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of money for this exercise to be completed. But as a
funds is the department can then implement this process as a project of its own, as this implementing agents in all the different provinces within the country, and this would then hire people to go out into these areas, some of them being in very remote areas. So what it would take for management to resolve and ensure that there's accountability in the space of asset management within the community work program, or to management implementing and being intentional about ensuring that these assets are properly recorded and accounted for within their records, and they are aware who's holding custody of which item that is used for what purposes. And Chairperson, on the issue of goods and services, okay, and then on the going back to the asset management, from our side as Auditor General, this is an area which we have noted as concern as it's been occurring over the past 5 years. So we are now at the stage where we are assessing the non-compliance to establish if there's any elements that can be linked to the powers that have been given to the Auditor General, to see how we can further enhance our communications and our recommendations to the department in terms of what needs to be done in ensuring that that area is resolved with a sense of agency. On the issue of lack of record keeping, this one is pretty much simple if we look at the nature of the issue. Yes, it would take the department a while to address the issues coming from the prior years, but in the current financial year, the people that are responsible for approving and making payments within the system, they should simply not be making payments whereby there is no supporting adequate records to the systems of the department. On the contract that awarded to the non-profit organizations at the beginning, such that they are aware their invoices are not being processed without providing the relevant and adequate supporting evidence to substantiate the claims that they are making to the department. So it's also going to take the accounting officer implementing consequence management for lack of for where non-performance has been noted, such that if anybody lets a transaction pass through the system when it shouldn't be, then they are held accountable, which is going to drive the awareness and education towards lack of tolerance or zero tolerance towards non-performance and non-compliance. And this would then ensure that these areas do not reoccur in the future, and people are educated then on the implementation of these requirements of accounting standards as well as legislation. On the non-compliance, Chairperson, one of the questions was that why is it that we are dealing with irregular expenditure which occurred in 2018-19 in 2020-21. Chairperson, this is a contract which was initially awarded to the non-profit organizations with the approval that the department will make use of a transfer policy with permission granted by the relevant authorities to the Department of Cooperative Governance. However, after further consideration, the then National Treasury came to a conclusion that it was inappropriate to make use of this policy as the non-profit organizations are not government institutions, and that necessitated the department to resort back to accounting for this expenditure as goods and services. And Chairperson, that then presented the department with challenges when it comes to procurement processes, as these contracts were awarded under a different policy. Chairperson, the non-compliance was only identified in the 2021 financial period due to a high court judgment which came out in July 2020, concluding that the processes under with consideration of what had transpired at the beginning and at the time when the contracts were awarded were unconstitutional, the awards were unconstitutional in nature and therefore invalid. And then the department went back to the years and quantified all the expenses that had been incurred over this period and presented comes with this irregular expenditure as required by the irregular expenditure framework. The department is now at the stage where it's required to investigate the reasons behind the irregular expenditure, and following the necessary processes, then it would be required to write to the National Treasury to establish what is the next stage in terms of resolving the irregular expenditure. And we as the Auditor General will follow up on these processes in the upcoming financial audit. Chairperson, there was also a question on the issue of participants that have really benefited from the community work program. Chairperson, I think what is of key importance to note in this area is that there is a finding which at this stage is an allegation based on the database or the outcome of the analysis which we have conducted through the audit purposes, whereby we identified that some of the participants had certain numbers. But there needs to be a further investigation to detail who was appointed by a different organ of state, while at the same time they were being paid from the community work program. This is database which only the department can have with when liaising with the respective organs of state. From the Auditor General's perspective, the responsibility to investigate and establish authenticity and confirm some of these allegations is on the owners of the department. Hence, when we followed up on the progress made in resolving the material irregularity relating to this issue, we concluded that the accounting officer was not taking appropriate actions, as some of these commitments which were made in response to the notification were not implemented. So therefore, the department had not conducted that exercise and confirmed exactly who actually unduly benefited, which would be an exercise that is required to be put in place before the end of June 2020, as communicated to the executive authority and the accounting officer. We will then follow up on the implementation of these remedial actions in the upcoming audit cycle. There were questions relating to investigations and timelines, as well as lack of consequence management. These are questions that I needed to respond to, as from the side of the state, the department was not implementing adequate procedures under the area of consequence management and was not following the necessary prescripts and policies as such. Hence, we raised the limitation which indicates we were unable to confirm that disciplinary processes were taken against people that committed and incurred irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Chairperson, there's also a question which was asked on the material irregularity which is closed. To explain further, Chairperson, this material irregularity will no longer be reported on in the future, as it is officially closed based on the procedures which we performed as the Auditor General. Part of the considerations which were made, Chairperson, I think the amendments were effective from the year 2018-19, which is where we were implementing a pilot in phase. And the Department of Cooperative Governance was part of these audits where the PAA amendments were implemented for the first time as a pilot phase. So in our considerations, the importance of these amendments is to ensure that government recovers the financial losses that are incurred, and it is still in a position to hold people accountable where they are found to be responsible for these material irregularities, and the necessary stakeholders are taking appropriate actions and implementing measures to ensure that these material irregularities are not recurring. And so, having considered these objectives and the purpose of these amendments, we then concluded that the material irregularity will no longer be pursued, as it shall no longer be providing value or adding value to the department, and the material irregularities which have already been communicated are in essence in overall addressing all the financial potential losses that are identified in the area of community work programs. And I think my colleague Tepo has addressed mostly the issue talking to what needs to be done when it comes to the implementation of these powers that have been given to the Auditor General. At this stage, with regards to the Department of Cooperative Governance, we are at the stage where we are asking or we are probing the accounting officer to take these actions as permitted by the different requirements of the steps on the processes where we are issuing certificates of SS. I initially explained that the intention of these amendments is not to take away from the different role players in oversight. There was also another question, Chairperson. I'm just making sure that I've addressed all the questions relating to that we asked. Oh, okay. So there's another question on goods and services asking what has been done about officials or parties that were found to have incurred expenditure where services are not received. Just maybe to provide context, the finding when it is raised, there's still a process that needs to be followed by management whereby they can investigate. And in other instances, it does happen that in the process, some of the information they are able to source and provide, which can substantiate and clear and resolve some of the issues that we've communicated. So far, our findings are that we were unable to confirm that some of the goods and services that were paid for were received by the department, as the department failed to provide substantiating evidence. But we have not made an assertion or confirmation that these were not received, as we do not have certain evidence. And the department has managed in some areas relating to prepayments. The department was able to clear the balance significantly, and the remainder of these balances or substance accounts is in the process of being reconciled by the department as the contract ended in 30 September 2021. And as the Office of the Auditor General, we've already started the process of keeping abreast of the developments in that space, and we are requesting regular feedback from the department to ensure that this is a process which we will communicate to the different oversight role players or bring to the attention of the different role players earlier enough before the end of the financial year, where we will have to issue formal reports such that they all have ample opportunity to address them and where possible, resolve them. Chairperson, if there's questions that I have left out, okay, lastly, we have questions on the assurance providers, whether the issue is a lack of skill, capacity, and any other reasons. Chairperson, I think most of these issues are legacy issues. We have legislative management records that are recognized in management for the improvements that have been put in place. But unfortunately, without an overall improvement in the audit outcomes, we cannot therefore say there's an improvement in that space. So the reason for this assurance provider not being able to adequately advance or perform in that area is due to the fact that some of these issues, they're going to take time, they require time for them to be able to adequately understand the root causes and implement action plans to ensure that these are addressed adequately and resolved ultimately. My colleague, Mr. Shabangu, explained, the CFO was appointed only recently in November 2020. And having regard to that, so it would be unfair for me to pronounce and say they lack skill or capacity. The skill is there, the intention is there, but it's just that these matters cannot be resolved in a matter of a day or a month. They require time, and they require them to put measures which they can ensure in the future are going to be able to uphold the principles of good governance and accountability, and ensure that there is no regression. Because it's would want them to just quickly put in place measures to resolve today's non-compliances and issues, but then tomorrow wake up to a new different set of issues that were not covered in the process when we were implementing and designing these controls to improve and turn around the state and the outcomes in the department. Chairperson, if there's questions that I have left out, I would request maybe members to remind us of those questions, because as far as my record, we have addressed the questions which we can respond to from the Auditor General's perspective. Thank you.
Who is the Chairperson? Chairperson?
May it be changed. We lost the Chairperson now.
Cherisha, guys, get her over, guys, like Cherish.
Cherisha, Honorable Lady.
No, because I'm like a cool, who was there substantive issues. No comments. My apology, colleagues, on behalf of the committee, if there are any follow-ups on the issue. Oh, the chair is bad.
No, I was there, but maybe I was muted.
You were talking to yourself.
Yes, I was talking to myself and engaging with you as we were talking. I was asking Mr. Shabangu from the Auditor General, because I can see his hand here, if he wants to add anything before I allow the department to respond. But I was also seeing some hands from honorable members as well. But let's start with Mr. Shabangu. If there's anything you want to raise.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I think we maybe omitted to respond to Honorable Direko's question. She asked, what is AG going to do with all these issues that were raised previously? And they are being raised year after year. We're raising the same thing every year. I think, Honorable Chair, the challenge with this issues is that because we are mandated in terms of Public Audit Act to audit annually, so when we audit, we will keep on raising these issues until they are addressed, Honorable Chair, and the ones that meet the definition of material irregularity, we will pursue that route, the material irregularity route, whereby we pursue whether a referral or a certificate of debt to the accounting officer. That's all we can do, Chair, because behind the scene, we do engage with the department rigorously in terms of what needs to happen and so forth. But I think our mandate is limited, Honorable Chair. So we can only raise the issues and apply whatever is within our mandate. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And I'm not sure, Honorable Mabika can confirm if we answered his questions through you, Honorable Chair. Because I think Honorable Mabika was also concerned about our recommendations to say that
repeat findings, you are concerned of what is coming across. You have responded to it.
Okay.
Honorable members, I can see some hands, but we still have to allow the department to respond. I'm not sure if these hands are the old hands or they are new. I see Honorable Prince's hand is up. Honorable Honefal's hand is up. If they are the old hands, is fine. You can proceed to the department. I was informed. Yes. Yes.
Honorable, will you allow me to ask just a question for the IG, because I've made an apology for 11 and it's already over 11. I just want to follow up on the question that I've raised, if you will allow me.
I allow you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I understand the Auditor General explanation in terms of Vimba that's been arrested, and I agree it was in the year 2015-2016, but yet, MISA received a clean audit outcome 2015-2016, 2016-2017, 2018-2019, 2019-2020, now 2021 as well. So when something like that comes to light, and they did receive a clean audit, wasn't the Auditor General then says, listen, we've made a mistake, there has been something there, and go back and then report in the new year on that? How do they handle a situation like that where they actually give a clean audit, and when something like this comes out, it's a 700 million rand tender, of which 286 million was paid out already. And when something like that comes out of, can I say, different sources, now that the Auditor General says to us, okay, that 2015-2016 shouldn't have been a clean audit, and report in the new year on that. How do they handle that, if they have clarity on that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we allow the Auditor General's office to respond on that? I see, Honorable Kaiser, your hand is up as well. Maybe you have a last question on the Auditor General. Let's take your hand first.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I'm quite concerned about what Honorable Kunabat is also, because I was playing it in my head that, Chairperson, surely you know you have your 700 million that has been part of the expenditure that occurred, and I think that the Auditor General does and whether the money are used irregularly within any, it does not matter if it's 700 rands or 70 rands, you are still doing the audit. So for instance, if you would say that there is a clean audit up to that far, up to now, vis-a-vis what occurred in terms of the arrest of the CEO for the Amatkole toilet, surely there was money that was there, should have been part of the audit. Otherwise, we'll feel like we're being manipulated, and that particular entity of COCTA is being protected for some reason. And that's all. And Chair, lastly, the cronyism means that you appoint friends and associates to positions of authority without proper consideration with regard to their qualification. You don't get. And then you further go to nepotism, wherein now it is a practice that amongst those within power to influence your favorites, especially by giving them jobs and things like that. Especially when you feel like there are weaknesses that you should sugarcoat, you would do that. And I would like to really probe the DG on who is demanding monies against the available resources in the department, and what appropriate action is she busy with? Because I hear that she's busy with a lot of things to recover the CWP financial losses and material irregularities. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Cho. Honorable Maggie Cho. I see your hand is up. Or maybe we'll take you later. Can we allow the Office of the Auditor General to respond?
Thank you, Honorable.
Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, having taken note of the teachable issue and the forefront, I would like to say that I think MISA has been clean since 2018-19 financial year. Before then, it was not clean. But on this issue, Chair, having noted that I think it is really an issue. We can commit to really going back and to the drawing board on this issue and see how we can pursue it and provide detailed feedback to the committee going forward. With your permission, Honourable Chair.
I think we must allow that as it has been raised as an issue. Would also want to have a sense as to how does it fit into the picture. I think let's note that I think members would allow that. Maybe with specific time frames there are, I don't know for the Auditor General, but it was for the department, I would be able to say the known time frames. Well, I'll take any proposal, but in the meantime, I think we agree. In the meantime, now let's allow the department to... I noted that the head of department for traditional affairs is here. There are DDGs that are relevant to some of the issues that were raised. But as indicated earlier, we respond, and as we respond, we still have time in the afternoon to deal with those issues. I don't know who is going to come in.
Chairperson?
Yes?
Just before you go, can I be released from the meeting, please?
You are released, Honourable Honourable.
Thank you very much. Yes, thanks. Department? Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning to all the Honourable Members. Chair, I'm the DG of the department. I know that you might not be here. My name is Alfred. I am joined by a number of senior officials in the department.
There's some problem with your voice. You can't hear you. An echo. I don't know what is causing it.
Chairperson, I will invite to just also look up on my other device. Sorry, I've had challenges with my device. And Chair maybe would allow me to 2 minutes or so to do that. So that I can sort of and I will also turn off my camera because Mr. Chairperson, I hope you can so that I'm able to get one.
Okay, you can do that.
Okay, Chair,
better?
It's better now. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chairperson, and apologies for that. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, perhaps I should start out just by saying that, of course, our Achilles heel within the department is the CWP program. And I'm certain that all members are also fully aware of the fact that many of the issues that we're dealing with within the department are also legacy issues that are emanating actually even from the year 2015. But having said that, I think that it's also important to note or point out that the department over the schedule that has been to table, you know, and report that is indeed credible. These were submitted, you know, on due date. And the performance as well of the department during the period has been deemed credible by the Auditor General. On the issue of the irregular expenditure, I must say that it is unfortunate. It also comes from a time or a period that is not necessarily related to the 2020-2021 financial year. I also want the Portfolio Committee to note that on the issue of the MIs or the material irregularities, that there were a total of six, and of those six, we have made very good progress on four of them. One of them has indeed been removed, and of course the one where we still need to satisfy the Auditor General is the one that relates to the pair of participants and the issue of double dipping. And of course, as a department, we want to be also afforded the opportunity to go and conduct, you know, the additional investigations and also then report back to the Auditor General. If you also look at the department or institutionally, you know, we are dealing also with legacy issues around culture and mindset of staff. But I think as a leadership, we've brought in the stability that is required. We are also of the view that people are also being trained and they are in a better position to actually understand and know what the requirements are. And of course, we through a process, which is not an overnight process, we are hoping to also see, as we move beyond here, the improved results that we need. I think that the Auditor General has responded to the Honourable Members, Honourable Member Brink, also to Honourable Member Madika. I also think that a response would need to be provided to Honourable Kalipi. Honourable Kalipi specifically asked that the political head must come and explain all the questions that she asked. They were not directly related to the outcome of the AG report. So I think that we can respond to those later on today, Chairperson. I think all the issues of Honourable Tereko have also been responded to. And I share also believe that some of the matters, as you've raised, have also been responded to by the AG. I also think on the irregular expenditure has also been covered. Chair, with your permission, I think it will be better if we then, in the session later this afternoon, we can go into the details of some of the issues around controls and what exactly the department has undertaken to ensure improved results, and also maybe talk about the remodeling of the program and how that has panned out and where we are in relation also to the handover process from the previous contract that relates to the NPOs and moving forward with the new implementing agents, Chairperson. So I think I'd like to leave it at that, Chair, with your permission, and thank you so much.
Thank you. In fact, in terms of how you are putting it, it actually guides us to say the questions might require further engagement in the afternoon when the minister is around and the DG is around and yourselves. So for now, the questions that were raised against the AG have been responded to. I still see the end of Honorable Joe.
Yes, good morning, Honorable Chair.
Yes.
And also members. Honorable Chairperson, I want to ask a follow-up question on the issue of paying contractors every month's end, because I didn't hear them the DG responding to that question. Please let the DG respond to that question, because it's very important and it has long been there. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. The representative of the department, I am sure you'd want to respond to that specific question before we wind up. Yes?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair, and thanks for the question. The matter as it relates to Canberra Office of Commission, my apologies.
Yes.
The matter as it relates to the payment of contractors, I think it's firstly important for us to note that the department has a relationship with implementing agents. And payments that are then made directly to the implementing agents. We have also decided as a department to also pay our participants, our CW participants, directly. So they receive payments directly from the department. So if there are any other contractors that are downstream, as I would call them, or second tier, they would receive payments from the implementing agent, which means that the department has nothing to do with payments of contractors directly. Unless I'm not understanding the question, Chairperson. This indeed does pose as a challenge to the department, simply because when implementing agents are defaulting and not providing us with invoices on time and we hold back on payments, they then tell their contractors that we have not paid them, and therefore, of course, there's an implication to their contractors not being paid. So, Chair, our policy and implementing framework as it pertains to the CWP and how we pay is very clear. We are following that in order for us to ensure that there is compliance. So if payments are not made, it will simply be because we have not received the necessary documentation that would have been required in order for us to ensure that there is compliance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Clarify my situation as well. I am new as the chairperson of the committee, so this is my first meeting. There are a number of issues that one is beginning to pick up. One is that I didn't know that we are talking to the DG for cooperative governance. So I've just been notified now. I kept on saying we'll meet the minister and the DG in the afternoon. The person I was informed about, who I know, is the DG for traditional affairs. So I'm also getting a list. I'm still getting also this transition, listening to the AG and hoping to engage the department in the afternoon, it will always help that overlap. And so in the afternoon, don't get surprised if the same questions come, and would expect you to respond to them as if you have not
responded to them now, the context might be different. I'm not sure, honorable members, if there's any further discussion with specifically the AG. We're still going to engage the department in the afternoon. I still see, I can see the hand of Honorable Hadebe. That's one. I can still see the hand of Honorable Chloe. You will be number two if you still want to speak. Honorable Hadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's good to be back after a very, very, very stressful and tiring period, sir.
Sorry for that.
One is happy to be back, still in one piece. My question, Chair, is in relation to the MI issued and the time it takes to issue a certificate of that. I understand the issue having to take some time to resolve, and ensuring that you give sufficient time for an accounting officer to act on the MI as issued by the AG. But what I'm to get an understanding is in relation to, do they have a specific time frame, or it depends on case by case in terms of the expected closure of that particular MI? Or is it incumbent upon the accounting officer based on the gravity of the case? Because we are concerned about the slow pace, and I'm saying this mindful of the fact that we need not to rush on into issuing the certificate of debt on MI that has been issued. But one would like to get a sense, Chair, of how long does it take? If there is no prescribed time frame, then it would be outside. Thank you.
And still up?
Yes, Chairperson?
Yes. No, so.
Chairperson, my honorable Chairperson, I don't know whether that is here or not, but my question is related with the municipal consumer debt. That is bigger problem in urban areas, specifically the metropolitan municipalities, and secondly the cities. I don't know how the FASA is yet to respond to that question. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can I allow the AG's office to respond to the questions?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I will not respond to Honorable Zhou's question. I think Falga will be best suitable to respond to that question. I will respond to Honorable Hadebe's question regarding the certificate of debt. So, Chairperson, the certificate of debt, it arises once we reach a conclusion that there was material financial loss incurred, and the remedial action that we issued to the accounting officer have not been implemented. And once we reach that conclusion, Honorable Chair and Honorable Hadeb, we give a notice of intention to issue a certificate of debt to the accounting officer. And we give the accounting officer 20 days for the accounting officer to make a written representation to us. And then once we receive a written representation from the accounting officer, we will assess whether we should proceed with the certificate of debt process. And once we agree or conclude that we want to
proceed with the certificate of debt, we escalate the matter to our advisory committee, whereby the accounting officer will be given the opportunity to make an oral presentation to the advisory committee, which is an external independent committee. So the process is we try to move as speedily as possible. Those processes are finalized. A recommendation will be received from the advisory committee, and the certificate of debt will be issued to the accounting office. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Maybe as well, Honorable Hadebe, this all does not take away our responsibility to do oversight over the department with our own time frames to see if there's change in what has been recommended to be done. Either we pick it from the audit or we pick it from whatever reports that we get. We also have to make sure that there is constant improvement in what the department is doing. So in other words, the audit report is meant to enhance our oversight as well. So hence I'm saying, whilst we have got that process of this certification of debt, before that, because oversight is happening every day. So, and one would say we should also be reserving some of the comments for the afternoon session, because we'd want to see the department changing and being positive about, especially the issue of time frames. Our time frames as politicians will not be similar to the officials, will not be similar to the Auditor General's office. The SNP itself, in terms of how we deal with these issues, our experience from this previous day is going to inform us that we'll have to change. I see Mbulelo. You want to say something, Mbulelo?
He was sneezing, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, I'm trying to wind up the session. If there's anything that we might have missed, Salka, I'm not informed. They are here. I will still go going to engage them in the days to come. Any member, before I close the meeting, would want to attract my attention to say there's something. Let me remove the note of the general meeting in the afternoon. The whip will lead the session. I'll join you later after picking that petition in Parliament. I didn't hear anybody objecting to that. Can I assume that then we have come to the end of the meeting? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.